Hey guys, Ed here. We're going to get started in just a minute. I'm going to give everyone a chance to join us. I see Jim is here, Lena, Chris, welcome. I'm just going to get things finalized here and then we'll go ahead and get started. So hang tight.
Hey, just Crystal checking in, making sure everything's good for this call.
Yeah, all good. All good. Just getting things set up.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to pop off.
Okay, thanks. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started. I see that a few of us joined. Chris, Jim, Lena, Paul, Alexa. Hey, great to have you guys here. We're going to get started here on a positive note. And I know some of you are just joining us, so you'll see, you'll get to know the drill. But I always like to, before we get to Q&A, I always like to talk about wins because I find that most of us, and listen, myself included, okay, tend to focus on what's wrong, tend to focus on what's not working, where we're being challenged. Where we're encountering friction in our lives or in our business, when there's so much that's going right. And I think this is just an opportunity to pay attention to that, to shine a spotlight on things that are going well. So what I'd like for you to do is if you do me a favor right now, go to the chat area here in Loom, type in a capital W, and just share a win that you've had over the past week or two as it relates to launching your business. Now, to be clear, a win can be anything, big or small. It doesn't have to be landing your first client. It could be, hey, you know what? I just signed up and I just started the session one. And hey, that's definitely a win because you're making progress. You know, you're taking those first steps. It could be that you're getting clarity on your positioning. It could be that, you know, your website's finally live. Or you know what? You just finished the first draft of your website copy. Anything along those lines. You're making progress, you're taking steps in the right direction, that is considered a win. So don't be shy, just let me know by typing that in the chat area, just type in a W and give me an idea of what you've got going on so we can acknowledge that and celebrate you. And while you're doing that, I'm going to look at pre-submitted questions. We had one here from, I believe, Chris, so we'll address those first. Now. Quick reminder with pre-submitted questions, if you're going to be in the call, it's best that you just ask here live, because as you'll see, Chris, I like to bring you in so we can have a conversation. And that way we're just talking one-on-one and that's usually much more productive. So pre-submitted is usually best for, situations when you know you're not going to be able to attend the next call. Or if you're going to be late, or if you're not really sure if you're going to be there, then pre-submitting will just ensure that I address your question. And the cool thing is when you get the replay the next day, it's always the set of questions that I address first. So, you know, you'll know that it'll be early in the call and you can listen to my response. But if you're going to be here, no need to pre-submit it. We'll just, you know, you can just ask live and we can have a conversation. All right, Chris says, win. I convinced my wife to let me take this course. Awesome. That's definitely a win. Yeah, love it. Jim says, I just made it through two more sessions this week, 6 and 7. Fantastic. There you go. Love it. Paul says, finally found the time to start building the business. Super. It definitely a win for sure. Good stuff. All right, anybody else? All right, some of you have already told me this, but I'm curious, what material are you implementing right now in the program? So where are you right now? Just let me know in the chat area. Just type in a capital I for implementing and let me know. And one of the reasons I ask this question, it's always interesting to see where everybody is. Also, it, you know, subconsciously, you know that I'm going to ask. So it would be nice if, you know, next time in the next call, you know that it'd be nice to be able to report some progress. And also, it's really just a way for me to highlight the fact that, look, it's important to keep moving through. You know, don't stall. Sometimes life happens, I get that, but keep pushing, keep moving through the program and keep implementing. And remember, this program is not just about sitting back and taking notes. Very, very important that you implement as you go, okay? Implement as you go. All right, so where is everybody? I know, let's see, Paul said, no, Jim said he's at session 7 right now. He just finished session 7. Excellent. 7 of 8. So you're almost there. And sections 6 and 7 are the kind of things that will really become ingrained once you put it into practice. So once you get the opportunity to talk to a prospect, it's that's when that stuff is really going to sink in. All right, Paul says, currently designing the website, so session 2. Excellent. And Chris, curious, where are you in the program right now? So have you had a chance to get started on session 1? Okay, cool. All right. Let's go ahead and get to Q&A then. So, very straightforward, guys. Look, anything is fair game, okay? I'm here to help you, to give you feedback, to coach you through a situation, challenge you might be facing. Anything is fair game. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, type in Q, capital Q, in the chat area. And let me know what you got. Now, you don't have to give me the whole question. Just give me an idea because I will bring you in. I will unmute you and we can have a conversation. But just give me an idea of what you've got. And that way I'll know that you've got a question. The ground rules are very straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. Let's keep it to one question per person. We always have time for multiple questions, but I like to give everyone a shot. And then we can just do another round and the third round is needed. Okay, so if you got more, just ask the first one and then I can come back to you. And then, you know, if it's the kind of situation where you're considering two different options, let me know what those are, just so that I don't go down a rabbit hole and we can just work with what you're thinking. Okay, so it's an open floor right now. Type in capital Q and we can go ahead and get started. Now, while you guys are doing that, I'm going to go to Chris's pre-submitted question. Okay, so There's a couple of questions in here. I'll take one at a time. Chris says, I'm worried that my current sales job will fire me if they notice that I have an online presence as a copywriter. How did you successfully navigate that transition? Was there a conflict? Okay. So, Chris, let me bring you in and we can chat. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Oh, you can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay, how's it going? Good. Sorry, I'm getting used to the platform. And sorry.
No,
for
it's okay. I just unmute you and but then after that I'll put you back on mute just so we can avoid background noise and all that.
Yes, I apologize. I'm at a Panera, so.
Oh, okay.
This is my office.
Gotcha.
But thank you for addressing my question. Did you want me to expand on it?
Well, here's what I want to know. What makes you worried that your employer will fire you if they find that you're doing something on the side? Is it against a contract that you signed? Does it breach that?
You know, not that I know of, but it's a difficult – other people at my company, it's a difficult working environment because someone else at my company was found out to have two – simultaneous full-time jobs, one for my company and one for another company. And so I'm in outside sales, and so they don't have the level of control over us as, you know, someone working in an office would have. So, you know, and this, I started a blog about a year ago or so, and it's always been in the back of my mind, this worry that if I really start establishing an identity as doing something else, that I'm going to get rid of my day job before I'm ready to get rid of my day job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that's coming from. Although, you know, maybe it's just, hopefully it's just in my head. I don't know.
Yeah, I was exactly where you were, because actually it's kind of eerie how close your situations were. I was in sales and I was worried about having a presence out there and what my employer would do. My experience, not just from going through it myself, but also coaching others who are in similar situations, has been this. This tends to fall into the category of things that I spend a lot of time worrying about that never materialize and I probably shouldn't have worried about. You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to know, though. You know, is there something that I should know before advising
right.
you? It sounds like it's, well, nothing in particular, but it sounds like you just have to be careful. And that's what I
yes.
did. And I even talked to, at that moment when I was back then, I talked to some folks who I knew were doing something similar or had gone through something similar. And the best piece of advice one of them gave me was, look, my thinking was, I'm not going to go out of my way to let my employer know, but I'm also not going to completely close every door and keep it like airtight. So I'm going to put something out there, but I'm just going to be careful. I'm going to be prudent.
Right.
And that's what I did.
Right.
And that's what
right.
I did. Now, what can you do? You know, like I wouldn't, obviously, I wouldn't go in and take calls right there in front of everybody. I wouldn't go around telling people, you know, just be smart. And,
right.
And then just take it one day at a time. And then here's the third thing. Be prepared to address the issue if it ever comes up. Like, you don't want to be caught off guard. For me, it never did.
Okay.
In fact, I never talked to anyone where the employer said, we found out what you're doing. We need to talk to you. You know, I never heard of that. But just so you can sleep at night, be prepared. And what I did to prepare is I actually wrote it out, and just so I had it on in front of me. It's essentially, look, yes, I am doing this. I do it on the side. I do it in my own time, evenings and weekends only. And
right.
It's a side gig. You know, it does not impact my performance here. And because I was in sales like you, I was able to then add this little bit. I said, as you know, I can't let something like this impact my performance because it would impact my job, which means, you know, that I could be out of a job.
Right.
So, you know, because I have quarterly numbers and monthly numbers to meet, I can't afford, even if I wanted to, I can't afford to let it impact what I'm doing.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. That's good.
So
thank you.
So yeah, absolutely. Let's see. You got two other ones. Let's do this. I'll come back to these.
Great.
Let me see. Is there a way to, yeah, let me just give, let me see if, what I've got out there and then I'll come back to you. Okay. Are you, can I unmute you back in a few minutes?
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Okay. Sure thing. Okay. Guys, so I just, again, if I want to give everyone a shot for questions and I can come back. Chris had another couple others. So if you got a question, let me know here in the chat area. Just type in a queue. And Salih said that he's in session 4, preparing his starter list. That's awesome. All right, so I don't see any other questions here. Let me come back to you then, Chris. I just wanted to make sure that you give everyone a shot. Okay, I just unmuted you. So
cool.
False alarm.
No problem.
All right. Your other question was, is there a way to blend both your identity, I think this is identity,
yeah.
in your current job with that of a copywriter? Okay, so give me an example of what you mean.
Okay. So, you know, my background may be similar to what yours was, is I've been in sales for quite some time. And in my case, it's the medical industry,
mm-hmm.
mostly pharmaceuticals. But what I'm thinking is, because I've been selling in this industry for so long that I have some possible expertise in the marketing of these kinds of products that I can at some point maybe use to market myself as a copywriter focused on that kind of an industry.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, but I'm not sure that I'd be able to do that just yet, because again, I would not, you know, I wouldn't want there to be a conflict between a client that I had and the company that I work for right now. So maybe if it was for a product completely unrelated, I wouldn't see why that would be a problem. But I guess that's just something I need to think through. But but specifically what I'm thinking of is and maybe I just need to go through what your training sessions about LinkedIn, but I see LinkedIn as a particular area where I'm not sure how I should be presenting myself. Like I don't want to, as a copywriter, I would not want to shut off LinkedIn as a possible way of finding leads and clients and whatnot. But in the same token, my LinkedIn is all oriented around my current resume as a salesperson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah, you're right. Okay. I would absolutely go through the welcome session and then session one first before I worry too much about this, because we're going to start with positioning, and then that's going to make it a little bit clearer as to how you're going to position yourself based on a number of key factors, and then you'll be able to make a decision. I would advise you to, you know, if you still want to go through the exercise, but
okay.
Everything else being equal, you really want to leverage your strengths. And if you have a lot of experience in the medical device industry, for instance, you know, that would be kind of a no-brainer to consider for your target market. Now, I had a similar situation. I was in software sales, and I wanted to focus on IT companies and software companies. And the conflict of interesting, that thing was very important to me. I didn't want it to, you know, if it ever came to that, I didn't want any questions or concerns or whatever. So here's what I did. I went after businesses that were completely unrelated to the type of products that I was selling. So I was selling software to contractors, trade contractors specifically. So you know what I did? I was going after companies that sold software to manufacturing companies or distributors or whatever, you see, or grocery stores. So completely different. There's like not even a whiff of a conflict there.
Right.
And that's what you want. There's so many, you know, with in terms of medical supplies, medical devices, medical equipment, there's so many possibilities there that you could still leverage your background and go after a ton of companies that aren't even related to what you sell now, the company or your company's other products. So, yeah, just go through that exercise and then it'll become clearer, but then that's how you avoid the conflict. And then in terms of, you know, LinkedIn, what you want to do is you want to kind of phase that in. So stick with your current profile now. And then in a few months, go ahead and start adjusting it a little bit and just kind of ease into that.
Okay.
You know, so I wouldn't worry too much about revamping your profile right now. I would just worry about creating, deciding how you're going to position yourself, put up a simple website and use that as your main hub, and then worry about LinkedIn a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay. But we can... Once you know how you're going to position yourself, then let's talk about it. Bottom line is, if you're going to position yourself in the same industry, then even more reason to leave your profile the same or pretty close to it. Because it's still going to work. And then that way you can sleep at night too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of, you know, you asked where are my misconceptions going into copywriting as a business. I think the biggest one... I'm sure there were some smaller ones, but the biggest one was an assumption that that finding clients and landing clients was going to be pretty easy. That as soon as I hung my shingle, I'd have, you know, people beating a path to my door.
I definitely don't think that.
Yeah. That was a big one for me because I knew there was a demand, but I it's not that kind of demand.
Right. You know, and actually, I think partially what prompted this question was, and I'm taking you out of context, so I apologize. But in one of your podcasts, you were talking about how people have the impression of copywriting as being having a lot of freedom. Uh-huh. And then I think you said something like it's anything but having freedom. But then the way, and I don't mean to step on anyone's toes, but the way that AWAI promotes copywriting, it's like the ticket to a lifelong vacation. But they really sell that hard. So I'm just trying to get maybe a sense of like, well, what first motivated you? What kept you going? Because I know in your case that coaching other people to do this is what you primarily do now and not actually do the writing itself. So correct. For me, for an impatient person like me, one of my biggest worries is that I'll do something and then for whatever reason, I'll stop liking doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit immature, but even at my age, I worry that, you know, the joy will fizzle from something that I've worked hard to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that makes sense?
All right. So yeah, there's a lot there. Let me address the freedom and then we'll address this other one that you just mentioned. I think what I may have mentioned is that the default state of freelancing is not freedom. That's what everyone thinks. It's not freedom. Yeah. If you just go about it without taking charge, it is not freedom. It's actually bondage. It's the opposite. Because now you're working nonstop. You know, when you think about it, a 9-to-5 has more freedoms in that regard automatically, by default. So a 9-to-5, you know, there's like set hours, set expectations, and when you're done, you're done. Now, of course, every job is different, okay? And sales can be a lot different, as you know. But when you're done, you're done. When you go on vacation, you can go on vacation and not worry. When you do your job, somebody else is taking that over and doing something else with it. And it's like out of your, you know, off your desk. Here, it's you're wearing all the hats. You know, you work from home, which means it's very easy to work a lot of hours. There's no boundaries. You know, there's no constraints to guide you as there are in a job. So what's hard in this business is to set those constraints up, to set those boundaries, to create the systems and be very mindful and purposeful and intentional about creating the kind of lifestyle and business that's going to serve you and make you happy. So you got to work at the freedom piece.
Got it. Right.
Yeah, and that's another big misconception. Now that you mentioned that, I was definitely wrong about that. I just thought it was going to be all rainbows and unicorns, you know, and it wasn't. So you got to be ready for that. I think one thing that prepares you for it, maybe better than a little bit better than other people, is that you're in sales. So, you know, you're measured a little bit differently. So if you have that, that's definitely an advantage. That is not, by the way, guys, a must have. But if you have a background in sales, that can definitely be helpful in that regard.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah. Now, in terms of, you know, will I get tired of this? Well, listen, that's I'm not sure if I'm really equipped to address that. That's something you need to give some thought to. I think you could say the same thing about anything. You know, I'm going to go from sales and I'm going to go to school and become a nurse, you know, because there's a huge demand for male nurses, and there is, right? Well, how do I know I'm going to like it? I mean, listen, you need to ask yourself some deeper questions and find out, you know, what kind of, where do you want to be in 5 years? Like what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? What, you know, what kind of work do you want to be doing? What kind of freedoms do you want? What kind of income? And it really starts by asking yourself that and then working backwards from that.
Good.
You know, and you need to have a really strong why. I talk about this a lot, a really strong why for doing this. Because if your big why for doing this is I want more money, that's only part of the whole thing, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the yeah, money well, gets old. You get used to it very quickly. You habituate to it very quickly.
Right.
And then
yes.
It's like what's left is like you got to be happy with what's left.
You just spend. The more you make, the more you spend. But
exactly.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the freedom piece that is really more motivating.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, that's a very strong value to me. There was a couple of things. I won't get into them, but one of the three core values for me was that the freedom. From ever since I can remember, I was a little kid. Like I just did not like being told what to do. Like I would comply. And then as a teenager and then as a young adult, I've never really liked being directed, especially when I know that what they're asking me to do is not right. I disagree with it or whatever. I just don't easily comply. So I want to chart my own course. I would rather take the risk of that and have that kind of freedom than to have security and feel like I'm trapped in a cage.
Right. Right. And that's very much where I'm at. So that I can very much relate to that. I appreciate you expanding on that. So
You bet. Just spend some time journaling about what are your core values and, you know, meaning like what I just said. It's like, what kind of situation do you want to not, that I think it's easier to start with what you don't want. You know, what would I definitely want to avoid? And then it's the what you want becomes a little bit easier to answer.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate that.
I'm gonna
work on that.
Good stuff, Chris. Well, great to have you here. All right, got a couple other questions here. So one from Paul, one from Jim. Paul asks, how do I handle B2B copywriting along with a technical consulting network? I'm coming from a technical research background. All right, so Paul, let me bring you in. Hello, Paul.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah.
All right, good, the microphone works.
There's a huge echo. I can barely understand what you're saying. I'm not sure. Are you in a kind of a big echoey room or is that a mic issue?
It might be a mic issue. I wonder if my headphones are reverberating. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be echoing. Is it too bad?
It's so bad I can barely make out what you're saying. Can you use the built-in mic on your computer?
We'll try that.
It might be a big click here.
Okay. Maybe it's not turned on.
How's this one? Is this better?
Nah, it's about the same.
About the same.
Well, you know, it's a little better. You'll see if you listen to the replay tomorrow, you'll see what we're hearing.
I'll have to work on that. I do have another setup that I'll use, but right now I'd have to go in and redo the configuration anyway.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So I just want, let me do this. I'm going to get a little bit of clarification from you and then I'll mute you and then I'll answer your question. Okay.
Okay.
Just because it's hard to make out what you're saying. So what you typed in, how do I handle B2B copywriting along with a technical consulting network? I'm coming from a technical research background. So you mean, how do you handle B2B copywriting along with this other gig you have, or tell me more about that?
Right. I'm coming from a technical research background. So all of my network is in highly technical people. And, you know, as we started this coaching call, I said that I'm able to find some time to start doing this kind of business. Because I do have clients that I'm doing technical consulting with.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Along with that, I want to do B2B copywriting because I think my background and my experience would lend me to do like case studies, white papers, those kind of B2B products. So really when I go to my network, you know, I don't want to give them the impression that I'm doing just B2B copywriting or I'm just doing technical consulting. I want to, you know, I'm trying to get the best of both worlds, but I want to utilize them for their technical, as technical clients. And then I'm, you know, what I want to do is I want to ask them, okay, if I wanted to do B2B copywriting, how do I approach them to do that?
All right. So to better answer that, I need to know how you decided to position yourself. So what's your target market that you're going after?
My target market is what do you mean, like in the chemical industries is really what my market is.
For your writing. So in terms of writing, who are you going after to pitch some, you know, the ability to help them write some of their copy?
These would be like case studies and white papers for marketing of products.
Yeah, so that's the what you're offering to write, but I'm talking about what industry or target market are you going after?
The industry would be really any chemical industries, mainly the petroleum products, lubrications.
Okay. And so which is technical, right, in nature?
Correct.
Okay, so there's a strong parallel here. You know, if that's where your network is, that's fantastic. Now, if you're telling me, well, yeah, my network is actually in real estate, but I'm going after chemical companies, then you're not going to be able to leverage your network to a great extent, right? But here, it sounds like not only these are the people you already know, which is great, you already know the topics, and the consulting you already do today and the technical research background that you have all apply to this. So this is all very well aligned.
Okay, so then I don't really need to worry about trying to differentiate this?
In what way?
You know, go to specific people for technical work and going to other people for the copywriting work?
Well, what you do is, are you trying to create a website to be able to promote both services?
I had given that some thought, but I think that would be too confusing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and do two separate websites, one for a technical consulting and one for a B2B copywriting type website.
Okay. So your B2B copywriting website, you're essentially saying, you know, I help, you know, chemical companies and oil and gas companies write marketing materials that help them educate their prospects, you know, and move them through the sales cycle. What makes me different is my background in yada, 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 which means to you, Mr. Prospect, that, you know, I don't need hand-holding. I can hit the ground running. So, I mean, unless I'm missing something here, I think this is kind of a classic case of being able to leverage your background and then just communicate what you do, for whom, what makes you different, and why those differences matter to an audience that you're already very familiar with and you already have a background in. And then don't mix in your technical research consulting work with this, because I agree that that's kind of a separate thing. So I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm not understanding what you're asking, because to me this is pretty clear cut in terms of I think you're going to have a pretty easy time with it.
Okay, I may just be overthinking this. At this stage in what I'm trying to do. But you've answered the question. I've got some good direction here, and that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, so Paul, just to make sure we're on the same page, you're basically going to leverage your background and experience in that field to then go after those same types of companies, but with writing services, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I think you got the perfect background for it. Because, like, look, I'm one of you guys. I just happen to have a knack for, you know, writing these pieces as well. And what makes me great is, unlike most other writers, I have this background already. So you don't have to fill me in. You don't have to educate me. I can hit the ground running.
Uh-huh.
You know? So yeah, I think this is great. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Good. Yeah. I need the support, I think.
Oh, absolutely. That's where I'm here. All right, Paul. Well, good talking to you.
Okay, thanks.
Excuse me. Okay, yeah, good stuff. Jim has a question here. I understand that it can take a while to get the first client, especially when working full time, but my wife keeps asking when I'm going to hurry up and get a client. How did you communicate this to your family members, and how can I keep the peace? Anytime I started making money, I got used to it in like 2 weeks. all right, Jim, let's talk. Hey, Jim, how are you? Jim. Oh, you can't talk. Okay, no worries. Let me put you back on mute. All right. Listen, you bring up a great point, Jim, and that is that it's so important to have the backing and the understanding and the support of your family, whether it's, you know, your wife and kids, or just your wife, or, you know, whomever. It's very difficult to do this if you don't have their support, or even worse, if they're just against it. It really is very, very difficult. So, you know, in terms of how long it takes, see, that's the thing. There's so many variables. It's very, very difficult to predict. All I can tell you is, you know, what I've seen personally, my coaching clients who've gone through this program, I think the fastest that we've had anyone get their first client is 3 weeks into the program. We get a lot of people who are getting their first client toward the end of the 9 weeks. You know, this is technically a 9-week program, but we will coach you and support you for up to a year from when you signed up. Okay. A lot of people toward the end. And then after that, it just kind of trickles. It's kind of all over the place. We haven't done interviews with all these people, but from email conversations that I've had, after 9 weeks, the reason there's more of a trickle is that these are people who just fell behind and just gave up for some reason or the other. There's no judgment there. Life happened. They lost interest. So what I can say is, I'm actually going to turn this on you, Jim. Sometimes having a family member or your spouse be kind of on you and just questioning can be a great motivator. It's very easy to look at that as like, oh, you know, what do I do? And just feel kind of shame and fear and all that. I would do a jiu-jitsu move here and instead use that to your advantage and use that as a motivator and set yourself a goal and work really, really hard to make that goal happen. Okay, so that's the best advice I can give you. Is it sounds like right now you need to first prove that this is real. And I was there. I remember when I first told my wife, she just didn't get it, but she was very supportive. And one of my biggest motivators at that point was just to show her that this thing was real and that, you know, I was serious and I was going to do this. So I remember when I first landed that first paying gig, it really wasn't so much about the money. Although I think it was two things. It was like being able to show her, look, honey, look what just happened. And I remember it was $1,100 and I got the signed contract, $1,100, and it was a 50% deposit. So being able to show her that was huge. And then the other is, wow, I just made $1,100. It just felt like magic. It's like money just kind of showed up at my doorstep kind of thing, you know, even though the work had just begun, right? Because now I had to do the work. But so that's the best thing I can tell you is just use it as a motivator and to step up your game. And yeah, it's really up to you. I'm telling you that the people who get there fast and land that first paying client faster than others, they're extremely motivated and they're very, very focused and they take action. So motivation alone is not good enough. You have to take steady action and you have to be very determined to keep going until it happens. So I hope that helps, Jim. Let me know. I know you can't talk, but let me know if that gives you a little bit of direction. It's okay, she said. Thankfully, she's not against this. She supports it in principle. Maybe the eventual first client will make it real to her. I probably need to communicate a little bit better about it, too. I'll take your advice, too, about using it as motivation. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely have that conversation. It's important. It's important. And you know, don't try to paint a picture of, you know, this is going to solve all our problems and all that. It's like, look, maybe something along the lines of, I'm very determined to try to make this work because if I can make it work, this could enable us to whatever, you know, and just touch on the things, the core values that you both share. It's important to you guys. But showing her and just letting her know that this is, you're completely behind this. You're going to give it your all and nothing in life is for sure, but you're getting the right training, coaching, and you have the right reasons and motivations for making this happen, and you're committed to working it. So, yeah, just to have that frank conversation. All right, question from Zelko. I work on my website and should promote my services. The website, it's short and effective. Excuse me, guys. Came down with a cold yesterday. I plan to offer services for technical and marketing writing to software companies. But I started to prepare a detailed specification of services. And my question is it necessary to do that now or to complete the website and think about that later? Okay, another question remains. Okay, so Zelko, let me bring you in. Hello, you're unmuted.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, nice. So let me answer your first question first. So I wouldn't worry too much about creating a detailed specification of services. I would work on getting your website up for now and just have a basic list of writing services that you offer. And don't worry about trying to explain each of them. In fact, you probably don't want that anyway, because you're going to be going after prospective clients who should already know what these things are. And all you're communicating is the fact that you can do those things. Okay?
Yes, I agree. I realize that it takes too much time to get detailed specification, and it is, I feel it is not necessary now, but this is up to my technical brain. I like to specify all details.
Uh-huh.
And probably I should be more relaxed about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so just get it up there and don't worry about it. See, that's an example of something that's not really going to make a difference right now. So you want to focus on things that are actually going to move you forward. And then you're asking about the domain name of your website. It sounds quite good to include writing in the domain name, but what if my services include other consulting services relating to technical writing? Maybe it's better to use communications. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's better to leave it open and broader in using something like communications. Now, my only warning to you would be communications is a long word. So if you're going to add something to it, let's just say, I don't know. I can't think of something, but let's just say flash communications. then that's kind of a long domain to type in, especially with email and all that. So consider shortening it to COMM, com, or comms with an S at the end. Something along those lines, because it's just, it's going to make your domain name really long.
Yes, I agree. Probably to use only my initials and comms.
Oh, okay. Yeah, try that. Try that and see if it's available, and then just play around with it. Many times, you know, what you want is not available, but try different variations of it. But communications, I like the word, but it's going to make it really long.
And I should move to the next session tomorrow. This is okay. My plan. And should I complete website? It should take about 5 working days to run website.
Okay.
I suppose okay. It is okay to move to the next session and to launch website a few days ago.
So let me see where you are. What would be your next session?
The next session after website.
Are you on the website session now?
Yes, I am on the session now. This is the second week.
Yeah, I wouldn't move on to the next session yet because it's not really going to save you time. I mean, you could do it either way, but I would, because let's just say it's going to take you an hour and a half to go through the next session, including taking down some notes and all that. That's an hour and a half you could spend on your website instead. And going to the next session is not going to move you ahead anyway, because you need your website to keep progressing. So I would focus on getting your website copy written, getting that uploaded, getting your website live. Have we already done a website copy review for you?
Yes. I got valuable comments from Suzanne. And,
okay, perfect.
I am working with my friends from software company to launch my website.
Perfect. Okay, so you already got it reviewed. So now it's just a matter of getting it launched and getting the copy up there. So
yes. I make 2 or 3 revisions of my website copy, and I suppose it is ready for launching. But
perfect.
It takes a few days because of I work with a software company here with my friends.
Okay.
And I should count on their time.
Yeah, no problem. 5 days is very reasonable. I would just say focus on getting that done and then move on to session 3.
Okay, just move after launching website.
Yes,
okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Good stuff, guys. You know, keep in mind that you want to typically, you want to move on to the next session only after you've completed the task from the previous session, right? So that's why we have a button for each one. Zelko brought up a really good question, though. You know, if this is kind of it's a tricky area because, well, while somebody else is helping me with a website, should I move on to the next one? But I don't think it really buys you anything. So that's why I would just focus on getting it live and then moving on. All right. We got an open floor right now. So if anyone's got any questions or been holding out, don't be shy. Type it in or give me an idea of what you've got in the chat area with a Q in front of it, just so I know that's what it is. Yeah, it is a good discussion. You know, and I'm, let me ask you guys something, just because I'm curious, and this is, you know, came up, especially from Chris's question and Jim's question. So I'd love everyone to answer this in the chat area. You know, what's one of the things you value the most? So as you think about launching a freelance business, you know, what do you value that freelancing you feel could give you? Okay. And there's no right or wrong answer here. I'm just curious. If you would just type it into the chat area, just give me, you know, a word or a couple words, or give me a couple of things that you value. I shared with you what I valued, and I'm just curious, what it is for you. Chris says, freedom, creativity, using my brain to do something meaningful. Yeah, I like that. Paul says, I control my destiny. Absolutely. Yeah, as opposed to riding on somebody else's boat, right? Where they're, you know, they're focused on their destiny. The money too, yeah, absolutely. What else? What are some other strong values or whys? I'd say one of mine, you know, I mentioned there were three big ones for me. I told you about one of them. Another big one was just creative fulfillment, creative freedom. It's the, not so much the work itself, although that's definitely great, but there's a creative process in launching and growing a business. And that to me is so exciting. I wasn't getting that in my sales job. I had done it to a certain extent, but now we had reached critical mass, and it was just all just going through the motions. It was boring. It became boring, and I wanted that creative challenge again. And to me, there's few things that are more creatively challenging for my personality than launching and building a business. So that's one that was a big, strong value for me. Jim says the potential to add additional time I'd had available, better money, but more than anything, I just want to see if I can do it. I never picture myself as a business owner, so it's a personal challenge as well. Oh, yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Chris says helping others. Yeah. Alexa, creative freedom, meaningful work, and schedule flexibility. Yes. Zelko says managing my time and doing creative work. Jim says... James Altucher's Choose Yourself book really influenced my view of traditional employment and showed me the need to be able to be in control of my own life. Yeah. You know, I haven't read that. I've heard a lot of good things about that book. Jim, I'm going to have to pick that up. Chris says, same here. Boredom is deadly. Yeah. You know, and that's why I said, guys, it can't just be the money, because look, what will happen is eventually as your writing business grows, boredom will set in. You know, so you're going to have to change things up a little bit and keep challenging yourself. So this business is not immune from that. But what is different here is that you're charting that course. You know, you get to decide, okay, how are we going to switch things up? What are we going to do differently? How am I going to challenge myself? Where in a traditional job, maybe, you know, it's usually somebody else telling you what you're going to need to do and what the next challenge is. That to me, like just thinking about it right now is stressing me out. Like I didn't want that. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that here, by the way. These are all great. All right. Listen, guys, I got plenty of time. So last call for questions. I just don't want to hang around if you don't have any any other questions. All right, let's do this. I don't see any other questions. So let's wrap up. Listen, this work right here we're doing is so much about getting and sustaining momentum, okay? And to have momentum, you need to be continually taking action, okay? And going through, don't stall. You know, spending 30 minutes a week on this material when you're crazy busy is better than putting it aside. Because if you put it aside, you're going to lose the momentum you've built, okay? So consistency is much more important than blocking out a whole day. Sometimes I see people say, well, I'm way behind, but you know what? Friday, I'm going to take that day off, and I'm just going to work on that. That sounds great on paper. Rarely works. Better to be consistent. So here's what I'd like to know. Again, in the name of consistency and momentum, we'd love to know what your top takeaway or one of your top takeaways was today. And if you wouldn't mind just typing a capital T for takeaway in the chat area and let me know what was something useful today. And what's a top action item for you from our conversation today? Okay. Action item. And it might seem silly, but when you are forced to think about, okay, what was a good takeaway, you remember that. And you expand on that idea. And then, of course, action, you're able to make it clear about what next step you need to take. I want to make sure you have something very clear that you can take outside of this conversation so it doesn't just become a great session where you listen and took notes, okay? Make sure that you have something actionable. So takeaway and action item T and A, and let me know in the chat area. Chris says he's getting started on the lessons. Awesome. Takeaway is that there's a path from what I do now to what I want to do. Absolutely. Jim, action item, talk to my family and pick a consistent time to work on this that works for everyone else too. Absolutely. Consistent time, even if it's 30 minutes a week. I mean, if you have to start there, that's great. It might seem like, well, that's not worth it. You know what? 30 minutes a week builds a habit, Jim, and it's easier to build on that and to expand that 30 minutes to 60 minutes once you've been doing it consistently than it is to go from zero to an hour, okay? So, yeah, it's very smart of you to try it that way. Paul, takeaway, keep moving. Action item, create a web page. Yeah, perfect. Delco, takeaway, to become more relaxed about tasks to do, not complicate things. Yeah, right? So many of us just overcomplicate things. I know I'm so guilty of that. Simple, simple. Focus on the simple things. All right, anyone else? Takeaway, action item. All right, guys. Hey, great session today. Love the variety of topics we covered. Some of you just getting started. Listen, you know what you need to do. It's all laid out for you. Again, just dedicate, commit the time, schedule it like you would a doctor's appointment. By that, I mean, just like a doctor's appointment, you know, it's a Friday at 2 p.m., 2 to 3, great. You know where you need to be. Friday at 2 p.m. and it's going to be from 2 to 3. And just like with doctor's appointment, you wouldn't just blow off because you don't feel like going. Same thing with this. When 2 o'clock comes, get on it instead of just saying, well, you know, I'll do it a little bit later. Very, very important that you treat it that way. So with that, guys, I'll leave you. Have a great rest of the week. And hey, we'll talk again real soon. We'll continue the conversation in the Facebook group. You guys take care.